Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. Here in America, He's the one we turn to. Every time the going gets rough, He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fort Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen, Timotheus. I let you finish.
You behaved yourself today.
I behaved. I did not interrupt.
You did not. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, brother. There's a passage in the Book of Wisdom known as Proverbs.
Proverbs is a very wise book.
Yes, which says, he who speaks before listening, that is his shame. Folly and his shame.
Well, I need to read that some more.
So the next time you're talking to someone and they keep interrupting you, just quote that verse to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. He who speaks before listening, that is his folly and his shame. I've tried it on the beloved for years. It works. Well, sometimes.
I will not.
Although I will not be talking about this when I go home.
I'm not going to comment. I'm
you're a wise man.
I've been reading Proverbs.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Proverbs is a wonderful book, isn't it?
It is a wonderful book. As you say, keeps you right with man.
And keeps you right with God if you read the book preceding it.
Yes, sir.
Psalms and Proverbs.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
If you'd like to give us a call, maybe you've got something that you'd like to ask, talk about, or maybe you've got a favorite scripture you'd like to pass along to us. Whatever it may be, call 606-789-0318. 606-789-0318. You can also email us if you'd like to do that at any time throughout the week. God's Point of View at Yahoo.com. God's Point of View at Yahoo.com. We are on our Facebook page and we're doing live right now. We are live on God's Point of View on Facebook. Or you can just give the great Scott a text or a call.
Sure.
Either one if you want to go directly to the source.
Sure, sure. And the phone number would be
You're testing me again.
I'm testing you again.
606-367-0137.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Feel free to give me a text during the show or after the show. Now, I won't guarantee you that I'll see it. If I'm right in the middle of answering a question and on fire here,
yeah,
I might miss it, but I've got it to where I should see it.
May I ask you a personal question?
Please
here?
Do. Please
I notice your. I love your Bible because it looks like a rainbow. I know you highlight a lot of things.
Yes, sir, I do.
How long have you had that Bible?
I've had this Bible since it was a Christmas gift, as a matter
mm-hmm,
of fact.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this Bible since December 25th. That's mm-hmm. Christmas Day.
Yes, sir.
1984.
Yes, sir. So this year will be 34 years that you've had this Bible.
34 years since I've had this Bible.
And I know you write in the margins. A lot of people think that may be a sacrilegious or something, but I noticed you were writing again in your Bible just a few minutes ago.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. This Bible I have here is a 1980. I've had this one. Then I have one at home just like it, which was 1972, I believe.
Yeah.
And then one, its cousin, right next to it, just like it, about 1970. They wear out on me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they wear out on me.
Well, that's a really good, bad thing.
It is. It is. Someone said a Bible that is worn out is probably owned by someone who isn't.
Absolutely.
Think about that.
Absolutely. That's powerful, right?
So you alluded to the fact that I was writing in it, and I'd be happy to share with you as a text, as a springboard, of a question. The question has to do with the Trinity.
Yes.
It confuses a lot of people. I should say they confuse a lot of people because it's not an it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We speak of the Holy Spirit as an it sometimes. It will do this, it will do that. The Holy Spirit is a person.
Yeah.
The third personage of the Godhead. Now, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the principle of the Trinity, or the Godhead, the word Godhead is in the Bible, and that is comprised of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And before we look at the verse, let me just say this. There is no one on the face of the earth that can perfectly and completely understand the Trinity.
We were never given that kind of knowledge.
The Trinity is a concept, is a reality that is impossible for any human being to understand. There's a passage over in the book of Romans, the 11th chapter. I have it here somewhere. I'll just quote it to you. Romans 11:33. The wonders of God. I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
The depth of the riches of His grace.
Mm.
Who can understand His way? And so it is impossible to understand all of the workings of God. Some things He makes clear to us. Other things not so clear. There's a lot of people who say that they understand it completely. I don't believe that. I believe someone who tells you they understand the Bible completely will tell you other things that aren't true as well.
Mm.
Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth and the riches both of His wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. That's the Blessed King James. So it's not possible for us to understand completely, but there's some scriptures that can help us, and I want to just cover a few of those points, if I may.
Yes, sir.
First of all, the Bible teaches there is but one God. Now, I'm going to list these scriptures, and the querist, the person who asked the question, and others might look them up later. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. So we know there's one true God. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4, Galatians 3:20, 1 Timothy 2:5. Number two, the Trinity, or the Godhead, consists of three persons. In Genesis chapter 1, the Hebrew noun is used, Elohim, L-O-H-I-M. The word Elohim and the pronoun us are plural forms, meaning more than one.
Mm-hmm.
So when God said, let us make man. He's talking. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Spirit, and he's talking to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And so we got a text there coming in from somebody. All right. In Matthew 3, and this is what I was just circling. I'd already highlighted it years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And as old boy says, had learned it.
Had learned it.
In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, when Jesus came to be baptized of John, and was baptized of John, the Bible says in verse 16 of Matthew 3, again from the King James, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water.
Now that tells me something right there.
Yeah. What's it tell you? It
tells me that he was submersed.
He was. He was indeed. And lo.
Oh.
And that didn't mean low submersed, but he went down pretty low, I'd say.
Yeah.
And low, that just means voila.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, there's the second low, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, I just already had it marked and categorized and everything in the old NIV, but underline Jesus, underline Spirit of God, underline a voice from heaven. I count three there. Now, how could if there's no such thing as the Godhead or the Trinity? And by the way, I know there's a lot of people listening that don't believe in the Godhead or have questions about the Godhead and don't believe everything I say about it, and you don't have to.
Yeah,
but it is taught in the Scripture, and I would just encourage you to study it more thoroughly. But Jesus is there physically. The Spirit of God descends in the form of a dove.
Mm-hmm.
So we know
it wasn't God as the dove.
No.
It was the Spirit.
Nor was it Jesus as the dove.
No, he was low and becoming by the water.
Good point. And the voice from heaven was God. Now, God did that to, you know, a couple of times when on the Mount of Transfiguration. God broke the silence and spoke. God had not spoken.
400
years.
Yeah.
397 years. We rounded off to 400 because it helps guys like
me. He's quite that long.
And he hadn't spoken until then. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 3. Then he spoke again. The Mount of Transfiguration over in Matthew and Mark's Gospel and Luke's Gospel. So the Trinity or Godhead is clearly outlined in the Scripture. Each member of the Trinity, another thing I think is worth pointing out, is God. The Father is God, John 6:27. The Son is God, John 1:1, verse 14. These are familiar to a lot of people. I'm moving on here for brevity's sake, Timotheus.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then over in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Mm-hmm. As the only, so.
And Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father.
He did indeed. Good point. Good scripture. But there was also, additionally, a subordination within the Trinity. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is subordinate to God mm-hmm. and the Son. And the Bible teaches that the Son is subordinate to the Father.
Yeah.
Paul said, be ye therefore followers of me, as I also follow Christ. And then he touched on the Godhead there. He said, man is... woman is subordinate to man. Man is subordinate to Christ. Christ is subordinate to God. There's an order of things with God. God is an orderly God.
Yeah.
He's not the God of confusion. So, that's some of the things that, and there's so many other things. We could have a whole series on this for a whole month. But there's so many, many other scriptures, but that's just a few that I hope helps the person asking about the Godhead. 7890318. Timotheus, if you have anything else to offer on that, we'll do that now before we leave it.
No, I don't. Nothing's come to mind, and that's not unusual for me.
Oh, come on now. We could use some analogies about the egg and the egg white and the shell. All three make up the egg.
Mm-hmm.
We could use the water. It can be in the form of a vapor. It can be frozen. It can be liquid. But all of those really fall short because one is just the form of the other.
Yes.
But not with the Godhead. Each of the three personages are God with
yeah.
different responsibilities.
Yeah,
God is the benefactor. Jesus is the source, the power, the Word, which holds everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And the Redeemer, the Savior. And the Holy Spirit is the Comforter who comes to us, John 14, as well as John 16. So we could go on and on with it. Go ahead.
Well, it is very confusing at times to think of it that way. But that's the way it is. And
yeah.
and some things that we want to know that we don't know, we're just going to have to be settled with until we get there. Because I truly believe that the Lord has given us what He wants us to know, and the rest is not for us to know, and or not to speculate. We can guess, or we can talk about things that might have happened, but we don't know unless it's written in Scripture. So, my advice is to be content with what the Lord gave us.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely correct. We should be content. As a matter of fact, we're admonished to be content.
Mm-hmm.
To be content with the things, that we have. We've got a couple of text messages here. And,
see what you get for giving out that phone.
Oh yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad I did. A couple of text messages.
Bless their hearts.
Before we go to those questions, however.
Okay.
Let's talk about what happened last night.
Oh my. My.
What a shame. This continues to happen over and over and over. Last night, if I've got my facts straight, I got the sniffles here this morning, Timotheus.
Mm.
Got my facts straight. This was the 307th mass shooting in America this year. Now, a lot of them don't make the news.
Yeah. Not all of them.
No.
Because sadly, it's becoming a common thing.
Absolutely. There's a real problem in our society. When our founding fathers talked about who we were as a people,
mm-hmm.
They said that all men are created equal. That's our founding creed,
mm-hmm.
and that was how we were supposed to view our brothers, our fellow man.
Yep.
John Adams said, quote, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. Christianity teaches to love your brother as
yes.
you do yourself.
Yes.
Love your neighbors, you do yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But in recent years, our culture has moved. I heard earlier this morning someone asked the sheriff, who was giving a news conference earlier this morning, about why these things are happening. And, he said there's a problem. The person asking the question had a distinct accent, and he said, "Why are these things happening in America?" And the sheriff wisely stated, "They're happening all over the world."
Yeah,
we have our more than maybe our fair share here, but they're happening all over the world. Many of us in the church believe, with a Christian worldview, believe that we are moving further and further away from God,
mm-hmm.
and as a result, we're going to reap the whirlwind. We sow to the wind and we reap the whirlwind. Look at some of the things we've changed over the years. We've moved away from a biblical worldview. The right to life of a preborn baby now depends on a whim sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
How a mother may be feeling, an expectant mother may be feeling. What about euthanasia? We never heard of those kinds of things years ago. They're now, even in some countries in the world, are allowing teenagers who get depressed and discouraged to just end it all.
Well, today is the anniversary. I read this earlier this morning in Today in History. Today's the anniversary of the passage of the bill in Colorado to where a terminally ill person can get a prescription to take medication to
yes,
end their
sir.
Life.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's another step. Some people can say, well, that's their choice, and they should be able to choose. That's another step is what that is.
It's another step, and it's not their choice. They're created in the image of God.
Absolutely.
And this is why capital punishment, I think, a lot of people don't like it, don't want it, talk against it. And yet, when a person commits murder,
mm-hmm.
For instance, this shooter, now he's dead. I don't know whether he shot himself or the deputy shot him who was killed in the event. I'm kind of getting on my hobby horse here to mow this. We refer to these things as tragedies, and they are in a sense. I understand that.
Yeah.
But this is evil.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
This is evil.
Yeah.
A car wreck is a tragedy.
Yes.
Somebody killed in a car wreck.
Somebody. And by the way, with that being said, we want to send our condolences out to the Frisbee family this morning and the Betty Moore, the Moore family.
Yes, yes. Yes. Those are tragic things. We hurt for these people.
Yes.
But this could be avoided. What happened in California could be avoided.
It can.
Yeah.
And now somebody's going to be saying, yeah, take the guns away.
No, that's not the answer for it. The answer for it is to try to start where it started in the beginning. And it started in the beginning with a mother and a father.
Yes.
Started with a home. Something, when the news finally comes out about this fella, they gave his name and his, I think where he was from this morning, a late news piece. But when it all comes to light, there's going to be something that will say that was probably a contributing factor.
Yeah.
No, I really believe that for 50 years we've been on a downward spiral. And a lot of us are just waiting for the trumpet to sound.
Absolutely.
That's not to be disparaging to people who are optimistic. I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic about what's coming.
Amen.
If I had cancer today, I would fight it with everything I've got. Just like this culture, I think the culture has a cancer,
mm-hmm.
and it's known as sin. And we've got to, we shouldn't run hide and try to withdraw ourselves from the culture. We should fight using the spiritual tools that God has given us.
And it's so interesting to me that people will analyze and they'll go on everything that they think is contributing, from guns to all this other stuff, but very few will focus on what the real problem is.
Right.
It's like they're blinded. They can't Can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it comes from a, there's only really two worldviews, Demotheus.
Mm-hmm.
There is a biblical worldview.
Godly worldview, yep.
And there is an ungodly or a secular.
Yep.
Because everybody that's secular is not going to rob a bank or kill somebody, so I don't want to refer to them as ungodly. But if you're not with God,
you're against him.
You're against him.
That's what the Bible says.
That's what the Bible teaches.
Mm-hmm.
So God is yet to judge us, or maybe he is judging us even now. But the final judgment, if you read the Old Testament and the book of Amos, and we'll not go through all of that, but there's some 7 or 8 reasons why God judged the nations at that time. Just read Amos 1 and Amos chapter 2, and you'll find some key things that went on among the nation of Israel back then that caused God to send judgment on them.
And the Old Testament is for our learning for things
yes.
that already happened,
yes.
and we're not learning anything. We can reference back to that, and the Christians will learn and understand more about it, but society's just going right back to where it's always been through history.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is, because that's you know why rivers run crooked, don't you, Timotheus?
Because they're not straight.
Oh, that's true. But there's a reason that rivers run crooked. They run crooked because it's the way of least resistance.
Absolutely.
And that's what humanity has always done. It's gone the way of least resistance.
Yeah.
It takes some effort to stand up against. The Bible says don't follow a multitude mm-hmm. to do evil. And yep. it takes some courage and some boldness and, quite frankly, an indwelling of the Holy Spirit to stand against people who everybody's going the wrong way. Here's a question to both of us we got. 789-0318 or God's Point of View. Yeah, we have no emails. But we do have a couple of text messages this morning.
You've got 8 minutes now.
All right. Brother, in Matthew chapter 10, why did God tell them not to go among the Gentiles or enter into any of the towns of the Samaritans? Good question.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's called in Scripture among pastors, theologians, this is what's called the limited commission. Now, There's a limited commission, and then there's a great commission.
Yeah.
That might help you distinguish between the two. Jesus is just beginning his ministry here, and he's called the disciples, which were the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sending them out, but he's sending them out on a limited mission. You know, during the lifetime of Jesus, they were traveled more than probably 200 miles all the whole time.
Yeah.
But when he ascended back to heaven, Matthew 28 tells us, he sent them out on a great commission, a worldwide commission, mm-hmm. and told them to teach and to baptize and to continue to teach. This question has to do with why did he tell them not to go among the Gentiles, and why did he tell them not to go among the Samaritans? Do we have that call on hold?
Yes.
Now, let's go ahead and get it. We'll come back to
the phone lines real quick. And good morning. Welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please?
Yes. The question I have is, the Bible says that blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the children of God. Exactly what is he referring to whenever he says the peacemakers? Who all is that referring to?
Thank you, brother, for the question, and we'll get to it in just a moment. If you can hang on, we'd love for you to. If not, we will get to it, time permitting, all right?
All right, thank you.
Thank you. That's a good question,
it
peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
So he called these 12 disciples, and they're listed there in Matthew chapter 10. And then he tells them where to go and where not to go. Specifically, God came to the Jewish nation first. Mm-hmm. Christ came to the Jewish nation first. Even in Paul's ministry, Paul said, it must needs be that I first preach to you.
Yes.
But, he said, if you deem yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. Well, in the limited commission of Jesus' disciples, the Gentiles were not included mm-hmm. because God came to the Jew first. God sent Christ is the more accurate way of putting it, to the Jew first. The gospel was presented to them. They rejected it, of course, and crucified him. And So
that's why it's called God's chosen people.
That's why they're God's chosen people. Mm-hmm. They were given the right first.
Yeah.
Gentiles were grafted in. We were a wild olive shoot that was grafted into the vine.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
And the Samaritans were, by the way, Gentiles were viewed as dogs.
Yeah.
Just an old mangy, disease-ridden hound scavenging around.
You're talking about my ancestry.
Scavenging around in garbage bins in the alley.
Amen.
Now, anyway, and the Samaritans were half-breeds. They were part Jew, part something else, part Gentile. And the Jew viewed them as garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And so he first came to the Jew, and he says, don't go among the Samaritans, don't go among the Gentiles, but go to the Jew. They had the first opportunity,
yes,
as God's chosen people over 1,000 years before, over 1,000 years before, to serve God,
mm-hmm,
and they wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But God gave them another chance through Christ, and of course he said, "I want you to go to the Jew first, and then later all mankind, Jew and Gentile, was included, and that's that. We praise God for that."
Amen.
I hope that helps.
Yeah.
Here's another question we had from a text message. Let's go back to it here about, says, why don't they speak about dinosaurs in the Bible? Thank you. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm really looking for an answer. Thanks again. Dinosaur remains, the actual mm-hmm bones and skeletons and all of that, have been found, on top of the highest mountains in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why, how could that be? I believe those creatures roamed the earth, but I believe they also were, destroyed during the flood. I believe, unlike some who believe some meteorite came and hit the earth and destroyed all of them, I believe it was a flood. As a matter of fact, the flood in Noah's day,
mm-hmm,
has been replicated in the lab, and they have found that it was of sufficient size and power to just completely fossilize our coal mines, our coal and them dire hills.
Yep.
That fossilization that happened, many believe, as a result, and I believe as a result of the pressure that was put on the earth when the flood. Not only did the rains fall from the sky to Moses,
but it came up from the ground.
It came
as well
up from the ground. I mean, the seas just vomited up.
Yeah.
And the pressure was so great that everything, dinosaurs and everything, were in fact engulfed and actually destroyed. The museums around the world are filled with the remains, skeletal remains of these giants.
But, I mean, and that's your opinion?
Yeah, of course it is.
And that sounds like a great opinion to me.
I think it is.
But we really don't know. To be honest, I mean, we have our opinions, but the Bible never says, and I guess there's no biblical reason for mentioning dinosaurs.
Well, the Bible mentions sea monsters,
mm-hmm,
and the Bible mentions things that I've seen them described and explained as various things.
Mm-hmm.
But when we think of dinosaurs, we think of, I was flipping channels the other night and saw that old movie, what's the name of it, about when the dinosaurs roamed the earth. They replicated them in the laboratory or something.
Mm. Jurassic Park?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
And, you know, why doesn't the Bible talk about that period and about mankind and so forth? The Bible is silent on a lot of things that we would like information about. What I'm saying is that, and it's not just my opinion,
mm-hmm,
these bones, these remains, these fossils have in fact been found.
They're real.
They're real.
Yeah.
And so just like the coal in the ground, ask any coal miner, he'll tell you it's there. And scientists have proven how it was formed.
Yes.
It was formed by the pressure that came, believing scientists will tell you, with the flood.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of scientists that are believers than more than what people would think. 7890318 is the phone number. Back to the question we got a moment ago, got a minute. Good question to begin next week with.
Peacemakers.
Just touch on it here. Everybody is for peace.
Well, they say they are.
They say they are.
Yeah.
But finding a peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
This statement is found in Matthew's Gospel in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, mm-hmm. Matthew 5, and it's a long list of what we call Beatitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Beatitude. The word means be of this attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Be of the attitude of being hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. Be of the attitude of being merciful. Be of the attitude, there's eight of them there. One of them is peacemakers. Mm-hmm. We are to be at peace with everybody as much as we possibly can. Romans chapter 12 tells us a peacemaker is a person who will do whatever, without sacrificing principle,
mm-hmm.
will do whatever they can do to have peace. Everybody loves peace, but not everybody wants to be a peacemaker. We'll pick up there next week and try to explain that a little more in detail.
Folks, we'd like to thank you for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View presented by the Highland Church of Christ. And we'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school gets underway 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning. Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m. And Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. So please come and join us at the Highland Church of Christ. And thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.